To another edition of the Business and Personal Podcast, where we bring you closer to the people that you do business with. And in this case, we're going to bring you closer to someone that helps you stay healthy. Super, super excited to have Dr. Pamela Smith on with me today. She's done countless things in the medical field in her 44 years of experience, but we're going to talk a lot about her authorship and some of the books that she's written, especially one most recent one that's going to be near and dear to a lot of your hearts. So first of all, Dr. Smith, I'm so glad to have gotten you on in your busy schedule. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much for the invitation. I'm very glad to be here.
So 44 years in the medical field, you know, you started out working in the ER at DMC, and then you have an anti-aging and functional medicine practice from there. So in those 44 years, how has that shaped you into who you are today and the things you're doing now?
Oh, wow. That is such a great question. I started out as an ER physician in a level one trauma center in Detroit, which I absolutely loved my job. It was wonderful. I got to help so many people from all walks of life. I would never, ever in my career take back those 20 years. All of a sudden, I could not sleep. I literally went to 11 different doctors and they all told me the same thing: take a sleeping pill. I was very lucky that one of my ER partners, Dr. Cynthia Shelby Lane, told me about anti-aging medicine. It was a brand new field. They were going to run their first conference and she wanted to know if I would like to go with her. I did, and it changed my life. And it changed what I did in medicine. First of all, at the anti-aging conference, I discovered that there were many reasons for insomnia. One of those is low progesterone. And yes, I had low progesterone. I came back and did one of the very first saliva tests in the Midwest to measure my progesterone level. It was almost zero. I was very lucky that the pharmacist at the end of my block was a compounding pharmacist. So I went down to the end of the street and said, "Gary, here's my saliva results. How much do you think that I need?" And to make a long story short, I started using progesterone and I slept like a baby. That got me very interested in the new field of anti-aging medicine. It really is a precision medicine approach. It's all about individualization and customization. And we look at the cause of the problem and not just treat symptoms. So for a while, I ended up staying in the emergency room and opening a practice. And then for the last, 27 plus years, I've had a practice in this area and have been fortunate enough to speak internationally and to author 11 books. A very different career than I would have imagined originally.
And you had really good foresight there too, because I keep hearing how people are living longer lives now. Age expectancy is stretching out. So, but it's the health expectancy, right? Like, how healthy are you going to be in those golden years is so important. And taking care of those things early on is kind of what you focus on, right?
Oh, it's so important. It's not just, do you live to be 100? Of course, we all want to live to be 100, but it's about living to be a healthy 100 years of age. And the good news is the science is here to literally help many of us live to be a healthy 100.
Well, the main reason I have you on here, Dr. Smith, is about your most recent book, which I've read, Max Your Immunity. And the thing I love about this is it is something that we're all thinking about right now. My own daughter asks me, "Hey, Dad, if I eat this, is this going to help my immunity?" I mean, 10 and 11 year olds are now thinking about this based on everything that we've experienced here in the last year and a half. And there's a lot of arguments on both sides of COVID, right? It's hard for anybody to agree on many things, but we can all agree on the importance of a strong immune system. You found that beautiful middle road that I think interests everybody. So let's start and talk about some divine intervention, because your book number 11 was going to be something else until you transitioned, right?
Well, it was a little bit of divine intervention from the viewpoint that, honestly, I was writing a book about autoimmune diseases. And then all of a sudden, my publisher said, hey, how about instead of writing about autoimmune, save that book for later. Let's look at the immune system itself. And most doctors, honestly, they don't know much about the immune system. Neither did I. What I really knew was that 70% of the immune system is in the gut, the GI tract. That I knew, but honestly, I didn't understand the different kinds of immune systems we have. We have two. Immune system number one is the innate immune system. And the innate immune system is what happens when you first get an infection. And everything mounts together to produce this reaction, which then goes to the second immune system, the adaptive one. And that's the one that produces the antibodies to get rid of the virus, et cetera. So you actually have two immune systems, and they both have to function perfectly for you not to catch that bug that's going around.
And I know you stress the importance of actually being exposed to some of the things that are going around. That's how you build up your immune system. So talk about that, how you don't want to really shelter yourself from everything out there. You do want to be exposed to some things.
You do want to be exposed to different kinds of bacteria, bugs, and all kinds of other things. And the reason you want to be exposed to those is that's literally how you build an immune system. If you stayed away from all bad things, then your immune system would be compromised.
And I think anybody that reads this book is going to have several takeaways of just simple changes they can make in their life. And you kind of break it down into 10 key things. And we won't go through all 10 of them right now. I had kind of some of my takeaways. But one that kind of jumped out at me is, guess what? Well, first of all, balance is the key, right? You want a little bit of everything. Stress is okay, right? Just not too much, of course, but also not too little. A little bit of stress is all right.
We all have stress. Who doesn't have stress? Not just now, but even before now. We had this 365, 24/7 society where people were going crazy, doing everything and overbooking. And then, of course, we had a pandemic and everybody got even more stressed. It's about mitigating stress. So stress reduction techniques are key. Prayer, meditation, Tai Chi, yoga, Qigong, exercise, massage, breathing techniques, acupuncture. My personal favorites are prayer and acupuncture. I really do them every single day. It's imperative for you to be healthy in order to decrease stress. And there's an entire chapter in my book, Max Your Immunity, on stress. When you're first stressed, cortisol elevates. When you've been stressed for a long time, then it actually goes too low. So it's all about balance, as you just mentioned. If you stay stressed, then cholesterol, blood sugar, blood pressure go up. Your thyroid doesn't work very well, which regulates your whole body. You, heaven forbid, put on weight. There's a lot of things that actually occur when you stay stressed all the time. So calming herbs are great. I love them. Chamomile, lemon balm, adaptogenic herbs like ashwagandha, ginseng, rhodiola, they all work great.
And you know what? What's another thing that leads to stress? We all have these crazy lives. We're doing a million things, trying to balance a million things. And sometimes we can't sleep at night because we're thinking about all these different things that we have to get done the next day. So sleep and lack of sleep is another huge thing.
Sleep is key. There's a chapter on sleep in my book as well. People don't understand that good sleep hygiene. If you have stress, if you don't sleep, but also your immune system is compromised if you don't sleep well. It's important to go to bed before 11 p.m. and not arise before 5 in the morning. Some of my patients say, oh, I get up at 4:30 to start an exercise program. We want you to exercise, but please don't get up at 4:30 in the morning. It changes your circadian rhythm in the body. So you want to get up after 5 a.m. and have good sleep hygiene for 6.5 to 8 hours. believe it or not, you can sleep too long. 8 hours is about the maximum extent, unless, of course, you're ill.
You know, you hear about football coaches or just people that are crazy workaholics that, oh, man, I got like 2 hours of sleep last night. And sometimes that's praised for, my gosh, what a hard worker that person is. But in reality, maybe that shouldn't be praised, that they need to readjust their schedules a little.
Well, you know, exercise is really important too, but you can actually have what we call an aggressive exercise program. Exercise builds your immune system. Yet another chapter. There's 10 ways to build your immune system in the book. Exercise is one of those. However, if you exercise really aggressively, 6 or 7 days a week, you do need extra nutrients. Your body gets depleted if you're aggressively exercising. So how much should you exercise? Again, 3 to 4 days a week. If you're that aggressive exerciser, then you do need extra coenzyme Q10. You do need extra alpha-lipoic acid, magnesium, and other nutrients so you don't injure yourself if you're an aggressive exerciser.
Yeah, that was actually the next thing on my list. You know, you would think these highly conditioned athletes that go through these rigorous exercises have the best immune systems, but if they're not refueling their body, they're actually doing damage to their immune system. So what are some things for people that do rigorous exercise that you suggest to refuel their body after a workout?
Exactly. You have to refuel the body. So for CoQ10, 300 to 400 milligrams a day. Alpha-lipoic acid, the same dose. Magnesium is to bowel tolerance. Magnesium, 400 to 600 milligrams a day is a great place to start. And then if you exercise a lot, we add other things like D-ribose, which is a powder, and you take a teaspoon 3 times a day. There's other nutrients you can add as well, but exercise is so important for your immune system.
This next one, I struggle with it. I know you struggled with it a little bit. Probably everybody that listens to this has struggled with it. How do you minimize your sweets intake? What are you saying?
That's probably my hardest one. That's why I'm laughing. The sugar intake is really problematic. It truly is. I happen to really like chocolate. I happen to like sugar. There's an interesting trial that people need to be aware of. They took the little laboratory animals and they put out 2 bowls. Bowl over here had cocaine. The bowl over here had literally sugar. Guess where those little laboratory animals ran to? They ran to the sugar, not to the cocaine. So sugar is the most addicting substance on earth. I love having donuts on my birthday. I just let myself have them, you know, once a year. But this year, first time, 67 years of age, which I turned in July, I did not have donuts on my birthday. A triumph.
All right. Well, hey, there's hope for me and the rest of us. Then if you can do it, we can do it too, right? So the interesting thing about sugar, though, there's good sugars. Like the bad sugars, all the good nutrients are stripped out in the mining process. That was an interesting thing that I learned in your book. But let's talk about some of the good sugars maybe that people don't know about that are good to take in.
Oh, certainly stevia is probably the best sweetener that there is out there. There's sugar alcohols. Those you can only use a baby amount of. Otherwise, you may have a gut disturbance. Most people don't have trouble with something natural like stevia. If you stick to the natural component most times in life, the body is able to adapt to that.
And the next thing on my list is something that's in a lot of foods that we all love, and that's gluten. And from reading and hearing you, even if you don't have celiac disease, even if you're not on a diet that has to eliminate all gluten, you probably should minimize it anyway, just for overall health.
Well, I can certainly do testing to see if people have celiac, to see if they literally have a gluten intolerance. And there are some people that are more sensitive. If you have an autoimmune disease, and there's now 105 of them, the 105th is literally long disease Lyme, where it just stays in the body and it's become an autoimmune process. There's Hashimoto's, there's Crohn's, there's ulcerative colitis. We could go on and on. If you have an autoimmune disease, then the studies do show that you should avoid gluten. That's probably the biggest population of people. And of course, celiac is one of those autoimmune diseases.
So, and you transitioned perfectly again, because autoimmune was next on my list. And it's one of those things, a lot of people, you hear that term, autoimmune disease, but it's literally your immune system attacking itself. Just explain what happens when you do have an autoimmune disease.
Well, when you have an autoimmune disease, it is exactly what you said. So let's start with thyroid. Thyroid is basically the organ right here, and it regulates most of what happens in your body. And if you have Hashimoto's thyroiditis, then that's an autoimmune disease of the thyroid gland, where the body is literally attacking its own thyroid. Most people with Hashimoto's have hypothyroidism, meaning they have poor thyroid function. There's also Graves' disease. That's an autoimmune disease of the thyroid as well, but that's when your body is making too much thyroid hormone. So that would be a great example of an autoimmune disease where your body's literally attacking its own thyroid gland.
You know, while some of this stuff is really scary, the good news is it can really be managed if you're monitoring where you stand. So for people that are listening and just curious, man, you know, I wonder how my immune system is, where I need to improve, what are some of the simple tests they can get done just to see where they stand?
Well, first of all, gut health. I was serious when I said 70% of the immune system is in the gut. And sometimes people don't realize they have a gut health problem. You may not have reflux, may not have GERD, diarrhea, constipation, nausea, muscle aches and pains, brain fog can be a symptom of your gut not working properly. People should have 2 bowel movements every day. Yes, every day. Some of my patients literally have 1 bowel movement a week. That would be an unhealthy gut. So for some people, we can just give them probiotics to take, good spore-based probiotics that survive digestion. And then other people, we do recommend a gut health test. Some of my patients think that's actually kind of gross because you do collect stool, but you need the actual specimen to see what the problem is. And there's very sophisticated tests out now. There's first generation, second generation test, where we can look at everything you wanted to know about your gut. And then of course, you may need to see a gastroenterologist where they put a scope in you to see if there's some sort of pathology that's a mechanical problem going on.
Another good thing to help in digestion is, guess what? Just old school water, H2O, makes a huge difference. So how much water do you suggest people drink every day?
There is no substitute for water. There's a lot of other things that are okay to drink. You know, it really is okay for most people to have 2 cups of coffee a day. It really is okay for most people to have 1 or 2 glasses of iced tea. Moderation is the key to health, but there is no substitute for water. If you have normal kidney function, then 1/2 your body weight in ounces every day. If you're exercising, then you need even more.
And you know, if water's boring to you, there's plenty of flavoring that you can add to it, whatever you need to do to make it interesting. But obviously, you know, it makes a huge difference. So
I like natural flavoring. You know, a lemon, a lime, you can put raspberry in, an orange. Orange is great.
Just, you know, for people that are listening that maybe have their annual physical coming up, is there something they can say to their physician like, hey, I want this blood test done or this test done to, what are the important ones that you think they should get done outside of just the normal blood test to see where their immunity stands?
Well, to see where your immunity stands, the complement system is important to look at. So if you're going to do a sophisticated test, your primary care doctor can look at the complement system. The other thing is to see, are you inflamed? A little bit of inflammation heals, too much causes disease. In fact, every disease I can think of after the age of 40 or 45 is inflammatory in nature, whether it's memory loss, heart disease, gut disturbances, they're all inflammatory conditions. So you can do a simple blood test like a C-reactive protein that any doctor can run at any major lab would tell you if you're inflamed. So there's some more sophisticated studies, but it is important to see your primary care physician or other healthcare provider. And of course, have your blood sugar, cholesterol, kidney function done, liver function done, et cetera. But there's a whole array of other tests that can be performed.
And it's just the nature of life that your immune system is going to decline as you age. But the beauty of something like this, at any age, really, you can take control of it and help your immune system last longer than if you did nothing, right? I mean, it's just some of the simplest things you can do with lifestyle changes.
Oh, you can. In fact, people don't realize if you fix your gut so that it's functioning perfectly, it's not just your immune system. A lot of your hormones are broken down in not just the liver, but also the gut. Serotonin, your happy neurotransmitter, 90% is made in the gut. So anxiety and depression for many people can be improved if they have those symptoms by fixing the gut. It doesn't mean if you are on an antidepressant, you can stop it, but certainly a lot of people do feel better. For hair and nails, biotin, all of it is made in the gut, B12. I mean, if you're going to choose one organ system to really work on, the GI tract is probably it.
70%, that speaks for itself, huh?
It does.
So you have a ton of pages at the end of your book about herbs and vitamins and the importance of those. So you know, we could go on forever about that, but what are just some quick takes for people listening that maybe don't have a lot of herbs and vitamins in their diet? What are some simple things they can do?
Well, of course, eating well and eating organic is always the most important thing to start with. You can't literally eat your way into everything, though. There's a couple of nutrients that you cannot eat your way into that are part of the fueling source in your body. One of those is coenzyme Q10. We lovingly call Q10. It's 1/3 of the fueling source, and you cannot eat your way into it. It's very important for the immune system. It's very important to decrease inflammation. You heard me mention it earlier when I talked about aggressive exercisers, but also people after the age of 50 make less of their own Q10. So at 50, we usually recommend 100 milligrams a day. The same is true of the alpha lipoic acid. That's alpha lipoic, L-I-P-O-I-C acid that I mentioned. You cannot eat your way into that either. It is part of the fueling source as well. So lipoic acid at 100 milligrams a day, it leaves your body or you don't make as much starting at 50. 100 milligrams a day helps with memory. It also helps protect your liver. At 300 to 400 milligrams a day, it helps lower blood sugar. In fact, it can be so effective that if you're on a medication like metformin that gets used up in the body and the body breaks down metformin into really something that helps your blood sugar, but it depletes the body of Q10 and lipoic acid lowers blood sugar. So if you're on something like metformin, you need to take Q10 and B vitamins, and you probably need to lower your dose of the metformin or at least have that discussion with your doctor or other healthcare provider. So when you take something like lipoic acid at bigger doses, it does effectively lower blood sugar. Many people need less medicine.
And, you know, I'm sure you've seen so many great success stories in all your years, but is there maybe one that stands out that you could share with our listeners of someone that didn't have the best immune system? They saw you, put them on a plan, and you've seen improvement from implementing the plan.
Absolutely. By fixing the gut, it really is the best way to help someone. So patient came to me having had surgery to their abdomen, and they lost part of their ileum. That's part of the intestines. It saved their life for them to have the ileum out because they had something called a volvulus. That's where the bowel strangles around. And a great surgeon saved their life. And they went on to have a very illustrious and interesting career. But when you have part of your gut out permanently, it does deplete the body of some of those important nutrients that we've been talking about. Fortunately, this person does see a anti-aging functional medicine practitioner and gets those nutrients replenished. Things like vitamin K. Vitamin K is only stored in your body for 1 week. So you do have to supplement with it, particularly if you don't have a bowel, because 75% of that vitamin K is made in the gut. And this person did very well. Vitamin K is important for bone structure. She actually built back bone. It's very important to help prevent heart disease. And this person has not had a heart attack, even though she's almost 70 years of age. She does have a family history of heart disease. Vitamin K can help with peripheral neuropathy. That's numbness and tingling that can happen in the extremities. She did have numbness and tingling, and she had tried B vitamins, which is a very common thing we do for paresthesias, the numbness and tingling. But when the vitamin K was added and we fixed her gut as best as possible with the fact she's missing the ileum, this person is able to literally travel the world and be very effective in their field.
I have to say, Dr. Smith, I'm so glad to have met you and have had a chance to read your book, because, you know, I'll be honest, before COVID, I would have had zero interest in this whatsoever. But no, your publisher was right on. This is a message so many people can easily digest and understand. And even if there's one or two things they change in their lifestyle, well, hey, they're going to be better for it. So I just highly suggest anybody out there, go get the book. You've made it nice and affordable by going paperback. What are some of the easiest ways for people to get your Max Your Immunity book?
Well, it's written in bullet style format. So literally, it's easy for everybody to understand. Part one's on the immune system. Part two is 10 things you can do to maximize your immunity. And then part three is nutrients that does as well. So of course, you can go to Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Books a Million, or any other location that carries books. And also almost every compounding pharmacy in the United States carries this book as well.
And you can't stop on 11. You got to at least do a dozen. So I'm sure we've got more books coming from you down the road, right?
My book on hormones, What You Must Know About Women's Hormones, the second edition is coming out this winter. And in the spring is coming out a book on male hormones. Yes, male hormones are just as important as female hormones. Haven't got a title yet for that book yet. So just watch and we'll see what we end up calling it. That one comes out in the spring.
Very good. Well, again, perfect message at the perfect time. Dr. Smith, thanks so much for joining me today and sharing your knowledge with our audience.
You are so welcome. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Absolutely. Have a good one.